بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله. As we learn about the best of people after Anbiya alayhim salam, the best of people that traverse this earth, حب النبي على الإنسان مفترض وحب أصحابه نور ببرهاني فهم صحابة خير الخلق خصهم رب العباد بجنات ورضواني. We learn that subhanAllah, the role that the Sahaba and the Sahabiyat played was so phenomenal and amazing. We learn about a Sahabiya radiallahu anha who took the message of Islam so seriously, with such importance, like every Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. She would go to the Mushrikat of Makkah, the non-Muslim woman of Makkah. She would visit their homes and explain to them the beauty of Islam and the beauty of Allah's deen. Her worry was, how can it be that deen is so beautiful, available to everyone, and there are so many that don't know? So she saw this in Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, Hazrat Fatima bint Asad radiallahu anha, Hazrat Fatima bint al-Khattab radiallahu anha, Hazrat Lubaba bint al-Harith radiallahu anha. So whatever she knew of the deen radiallahu anha, she would go to the mushrikat, the non-Muslim women of Makkah, and she used to inspire them, motivate them, and invite them to the deen of Allah. Their husbands were astonished that every time we come home, you all advocate deen to us. What is this deen you all are talking about? You all are talking to us like what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say to us. But subhanallah, these women were motivated by none other than a sahabiya by the name of Hazrat Ummu Sharik radiallahu anha. Her name was Ghaziyya radiallahu anha. Ghaziyya, but her appellation was Ummu Sharik. That being an ignominy, her having a child, Sharik, that's how she was known as Ummu Sharik radiallahu anha. Some reports explain that she was quite early into the deen of Allah Ta'ala. But then there's another report that expresses that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already gone to Medina Munawwara, and then she embraced Islam and she started doing da'wah and inviting the other women. So as she was in Makkah, she needed some assistance to go to Medina Munawwara. And there was a Jewish individual who she asked assistance from, and then she got some assistance from there, and that's how she made her way to Medina Munawwara. But as she was making effort in Makkah Mukarrama, and she was striving for Allah, motivating the others, bringing deen into the families, she one day was suddenly shocked where quite a few of the mushrika, the woman, quite a few of the husbands came looking for her, and they caught her, tied her up, and took her into the wilderness. And they wanted to torture her. She says, but they told me, if it wasn't for your family position, we would have actually ended you off. But they took her, they tied her onto the conveyance, and made it hard for her. They didn't give her any saddle on the conveyance. She was tied, and she was made to suffer for 3 days on that conveyance. After some time, this report says that they gave her nothing to eat or drink. After 3 days, she says, I fell unconscious. They stopped at one place where they camped, and then they tied me under the sun. So it seems like an enclosed area that was open on top, and they detained me there. There also, I didn't get any food and nothing to drink. The reason they were doing this was they were very upset that their women folk were inspired by Islam. So they couldn't bear this. A very similar incident in the Sahih Bukhari is about Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr had a musalla, a simple masjid structure, a structure like a musalla outside his home. But it was near his front yard. And he used to perform salah there and recite Quran loudly. So Hazrat Abu Bakr used to enjoy his individual ibadah outside his home, and any of the people that would go by would actually stop and listen to the tilawa and the recital of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this had such a profound impact on the children of Makkah, the non-Muslim family children, those children that hailed from non-Muslim homes. And Then the mothers started from outside listening to the tilawa of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And through this, so many were inspired by the Quran and the deen. And family members started embracing Islam to such an extent that the men then came to Hazrat Abu Bakr imploring him that you cannot do this. If you want to worship Allah, do it in the confines of your home. You are misleading our women and our children. So subhanAllah, Hazrat Abu Bakr obviously through this was making ibadah, individual ibadah, but through this it was like a ta'leem where deen is made available to anyone who wants it. And this is such a beautiful thing. You and I can learn from here. Our businesses, our surgeries, our offices and so forth. Leave some literature on Islam available at certain strategic points where those waiting, they can see some interesting topic that would inspire them about the oneness of Allah, the beauty of Islam, amazing practices in the deen, why Muslim women cover, some effective motivational information, how Islam, when practiced, would become a means to protect their children from all sorts of ambiguous and promiscuous ways. It gives a person a pure, righteous upbringing. Through this, our children will become successful, and so forth. And sometimes we should make the tilawat of the Qur'an al-Kareem available to them, and better so, the tilawat of the Qur'an al-Kareem also with the translation. SubhanAllah. Allah give us tawfiq to utilize different avenues that are halal to motivate humanity to the truth. So these men were upset because Hazrat Ummu Shariq radiallahu anha, Ghaziyya, had inspired their families, their women folk. She says, after these few days went by without me eating anything, there's another report that states that they gave me something because I was so hungry and so thirsty. They gave me something that made me even more thirsty and didn't give me water to drink thereafter. And even when I asked, they totally refused and they said, now you will suffer and you will see. And as I was locked up, I was so weakened and I suffered so much due to this. While I was in this plight of difficulty, there was none but Allah to hear me. My Allah listens to me. SubhanAllah. How merciful. And our Sahaba turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She says, I then felt something cool upon me. And it made me drink and then it was raised. And then I looked, it was a bucket. Where is it coming from? Is it from anyone else? No, it was coming from the sky. And then the bucket came down again. فَتَنَاوَلْتُ I took it. فَإِذَا دَلْوُ مَا A bucket of water. I drank a little more. And then it went up again. A little. Then it returned. And it was presented to me. From where? I can't see. I just see this bucket falling from the sky. I drank from it a little. And then it was raised again. And this happened repeatedly. Then the next time it came, few seconds later, I drank from it and poured it on my entire body and my clothing. And I was now fresh and happy and comforted and satiated. When they awakened, so they were actually enjoying seeing me suffer like this. And it seems that her husband, who was from the Dos tribe, because there's few attributions of the Sahabiyah. She's attributed to Quraysh, and then sometimes to the Ansar, and then sometimes to Dos. Putting these few reports together, Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah expresses that she was from Quraysh, but she got married to a man from the Dos tribe, who she had a child from, Shariq radiallahu anhu. That's why she's sometimes attributed to her in-law family. And then she's also attributed to the Ansar, due to her becoming very famous among them in her service to Allah's deen. Wallahu ta'ala alam. That's how she has quite a few affinities. When someone is special, everyone wants her to be attributed to them. Like the example where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Sahaba radiallahu anhum training in archery, and in their humor, they were training, and then he joined the one group or the one team, and then the other group says, no, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we then give up because you are on that side. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you all carry on, I am with all of you. So everyone wanted him. Like Hazrat Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, the longest living sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who hailed from Persia. And subhanallah, he was a foreigner. in Medina Munawwara. He was formerly a slave. He was freed. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made so much of khidmat and riayah for him. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made an effort and exhorted the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to help in getting him liberated and freed and assisted. Subhanallah. All this Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did for Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu. And he participated in Khandaq. And nay, it was actually his opinion through which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam decided that the trench would be dug around Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And the Muhajireen want him to be attributed to them. And the Ansar want him to be attributed to them. Minna, minna. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Salman is from my family. Minna, Ahlul Bayt. So what we learn, how to make someone feel. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this to make Hazrat Salman feel special. So it seems this could be the reason why Hazrat Umm Shariq has such affinities, alhamdulillah. So her being in Makkah Mukarramah. And then it seems that her husband was not around or he had passed on. This is how they did this to her and took her out into the wilderness and made her suffer. But subhanallah, when they finally awakened and they came to oversee what had happened to her. Has she died? Has she fallen unconscious? Subhanallah. And they find her to be comforted, happy, calm, relaxed. They couldn't believe it. Subhanallah. What did you do? What happened? Did you loosen the ropes? Did you get out of this enclosure of yours? Did you come out of your incarceration? Where did you get water for your comfort? How are you so well, calm, relaxed? And they realized that she had remained in that compartment that they had tied her in, like some sort of a room that was open on top. And she was tied. And when they verified, all their water skin containers were still tied and full of water. So she didn't escape in their sleep to take from their water. So they were shocked. What happened? Ummu Shariq radiallahu anha. Subhanallah. What did really happen is, the next part is where she explains to them. And not only explains to them, but subhanallah, subhanallah, she explains to them how Allah helped her. They were so amazed. They verified that it wasn't their water that she had drank and become fresh thereby. And alhamdulillah, through her endeavors, she then invited them to Islam. And alhamdulillah, they were trying prior to that to take her out of Islam while she was in this suffering, pitiable state. They even told her, leave this faith of yours. Utruki ma anti alay. Leave this faith, this creed that you have embraced and you advocate. Leave that. And she remained firm. And now when they saw the help of Allah with her, alhamdulillah, that entire group embraced Islam. So this is the Sahaba and the Sahabiyat. Radiallahu anhum wa anhun. Their endeavors, their efforts reached humanity. They strove. They were not only satisfied with their worship, but they were worried and concerned that humanity must receive the message of Islam. This is why we are so indebted to them. Ulaika ashabun nabiyyi wa hizbihi. Walawla humu ma kana fil ardi muslimu. Yeah. Hamad Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ke sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum. These are Allah's Nabi's people. Had it not been for them, we would not have been Muslims. Allah Ta'ala helped her with her hijrah, how she migrated, subhanallah. It was still the initial stages of Islam, because the beautiful ahkam and the rulings of sharia came gradually. So alhamdulillah, as she was traveling for hijrah, Allah Ta'ala helped her via a Jewish individual. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala is in control. Allah helped her. She came to Medina Munawwara. Now her life was in the safety and the beautiful environs of Medina Munawwara. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum appreciated her efforts and her endeavors. Alhamdulillah. Her husband had passed on. She was of age. Alhamdulillah. And there's different reports. Some reports say she wanted to gift herself to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah Ta'ala makes that a speciality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran Kareem. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for wisdom known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, didn't accept the gift, but Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did appreciate her. This beautiful ahadith that she narrates radiyallahu anha. She would learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and impart the deen like she did in Makkah Mukarramah. Whatever she knew, she would go to the non-Muslims of Makkah and impart the deen to them. She would go. And here in Medina Munawwara as well, she would learn. Hazrat Umm Shariq radiallahu anha narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this hadith is in Sahih Muslim and Tirmidhi, that people would flee from Dajjal. So Hazrat Umm Shariq asked, where would the Arabs be at that time? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there would be very few. In another report where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned earthquakes in Medina Munawwara before Judgment Day. And then through those earthquakes in Medina, there wouldn't be a munafiq and a munafiqa, except that they would leave Medina Munawwara. This is the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that those who are true will remain, those who are untrue will violate and forsake. Allah ta'ala save us from hypocrisy and forsaking the truth. And subhanallah, in this hadith there's an indication that Allah ta'ala takes work from whomsoever He wants to. Alhamdulillah, it was the Arabs that were first to embrace Islam and strive for Allah Ta'ala's deen. And in different times, Allah Ta'ala takes work from whomsoever He wants to. Like the hadith about those who strive for Allah, the hadith that mentions the people of Sham, that no matter whoever forsakes them and whoever deserts them, they will remain firm on the truth. Alhamdulillah, those who oppose them and those who are from them and forsake them, betray them. وَلَمَنْ خَذَى لَهُمْ So this shows that even many a time a person who is Muslim but doesn't have the truth and doesn't have firm faith, he could turn his back and due to hypocrisy, you know, forsake the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. That's why we have to be greatly concerned about our iman. A friend of mine just saw a dream recently that he entered a fortress with the senior pious Buzruk, who looked like this Patani kind of individual from that kind of background, that kind of dressing. And in this fortress, the forces of Batil were trying to, you know, attack, and Allah Ta'ala protected the believers. And then from inside, there were many who came from originally Muslim backgrounds, for example, like Arab. But they were wearing crowns that had crosses. And they were coming via a wall and were against him. And he just said, Takbir, Allahu Akbar, and looked at them. And that entire wall collapsed. Subhanallah, fell on them and destroyed all of them. And them being of such ethnicity, but the indication of the crown that had crosses on it, jewels and crosses on it, what it meant is they were submitting to the forces of Batil in Europe and so forth and so forth. But the true Ahlullah, with the help of Allah Ta'ala, will overcome even that challenge. And then subhanallah, there's other hadith that express that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come where there'll be people from the Banu Ishaq. They will take my deen to cities, and without a weapon or a sword, they would say, La ilaha illallah, and those cities would cave in. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described them to be Mim Bani Ishaq. Who is Banu Ishaq is interesting in this hadith. Who is referred to here? Is it the Arab who are Banu Ismail, and that refers to the Muslim offspring of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam? The Israelite are Banu Israel. So even though Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam's father was Ishaq alayhi salam, but generally in the ahadith, Banu Ishaq is not used so often, either Banu Israel or Banu Ismail. Who is referred to by Banu Ishaq? And one of the interpretations here is interesting. Those of European background who would then see the beauty of Islam and come into Allah's deen and have such faith and firmness on deen that through them countries and cities and towns would give in to deen, come into the deen of Allah Ta'ala and embrace the deen of Allah Ta'ala through the La ilaha illallah of these formerly European people, reverts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doer. This is one interpretation of this hadith. Allah is in control. May Allah give us all tawfiq and hidayah. And may Allah accept us for His deen. Another interesting hadith in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, that Ibn Musayyib rahimahullah narrates, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised Hazrat Umm Shariq to kill the lizard. Subhanallah. And this refers to a certain kind of lizard. One can find out from the ulama more information. But the reason for killing the lizard is, subhanAllah, is quite interesting. One is the nature of the lizard having sharara in it, that it even added to the fire of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Subhanallah. The mushrikeen, the kuffar, were kindling this huge fire and they were increasing to the fire. And there was certain creation of Allah trying to extinguish the fire. And they didn't say, what can we do? It's such a huge fire. Whatever we do won't be enough. But they tried their bit. And this lizard, ajib, it started blowing towards the fire to increase it. Because this was the nature of evil in it. So we learn that even for the effort of truth, we have to be part and parcel of it. And even if we do as much as we can, Shaitan will try and make us feel that, no, it's so insignificant. What's the use? What's the use you're going to bring one person to Islam? What's the use if you're going to carry out and uphold this one sunnah? What difference will it make? No, it does make a difference. We're doing it for Allah, and Allah sees even that little effort, endeavor. And every sunnah is great. No sunnah is small. Every deed carried out in accordance to sunnah for the pleasure of Allah is magnanimous, is great, is powerful. It has an impact. It has the greatest and most lasting effect. But Shaitan will whisper and make us feel, no, it's insignificant. What is just going for this one gush? What difference will it make? How many a time one goes to the home to meet someone, that person wasn't there. You go to another person, that person's not interested. Subhanallah. But Allah will create that effect through that one gush. Subhanallah. And just going for Allah, it has an impact. It has a long-lasting effect. That's why we have to make sure we join what is true and abstain from what is false. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who increases the crowd of a people is part and parcel of them. مَنْ كَثَّرَ سَوَادَ خَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who feels for a people, even though he's not there, and they are involved in goodness, Allah will reward him as being part and parcel of it. But others who are involved in wrong, and he's not there, but he actually supports them, and he feels that he wants to be part and parcel of it. Even though they are involved in wrong, and he's not there, he is part and parcel of the same. So here, this lizard did this wrong. But what a negative impact it has. Hazrat Mufti Ridha al-Haq Sahib, Hafidhahullah, mentioned so beautifully. And what's the reason for killing the lizard? Is it just because of it blowing on the fire of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? Hazrat says that there's other reasons as well. That the lizard, why is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advising the Sahabiya radiallahu anha to kill this lizard when it's in the home? It's because it has an evil nature. What happens is, even if you have a pot or a container or some food somewhere, it will go inside there. And even if you research it scientifically, when that lizard goes into that kettle and you boil that kettle or goes into that food and you cook that food, whoever eats that food thereafter would die because of the poisonous effect of being boiled with that lizard or the presence or the entrance of the lizard inside there. So it has this sharara and this evil nature, and also it could also be poisonous, certain types of lizards. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this to her. That's why it's also proven that sometimes a person's toothbrush, miswak, in the bathroom, if there's lizards there, it's reported that lizards go and suck on that. That's why it's so important to cover these things, keep it in a standing position, and also wash and rinse thoroughly before usage. All these beautiful practices are proven from the Sunan Mubarakah of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.